Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Off the ball, GAA.
Look, personally, I'm absolutely over the moon. Look, I was watching Donald Hughes, Kieran Hughes, Frank Coffey, Donald Morgan, Dermot McCrudden, Nicholas Carrigan. I could name them for hours. These boys soldiered for years. Didn't get to play a part in this, but they were playing a part in how we got here today.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the ball, breakfast.
One more day to go and it's Christmas week. How's everybody feeling about that?
Very good. Love this night.
Oh, go on, Bahamut, go on.
Just another day.
What did the Greeks do?
No, I don't mind that. I don't like the build-up.
I love the build-up.
I don't like the winding down.
No?
No.
Never. You want to bang, you want to crash into Christmas.
No, I like the Christmas period. I'm really looking forward to that. But I don't like the wind down. I love coming back. I love the fresh enthusiasm.
For 2026?
Yeah, always have.
A refresh, a reset. They're not made whole. No. We'll return to doom the knowledge we stole but couldn't use.
Yeah, that's it.
A poem, in fairness. Did you all do Advent when Patrick Kavanagh for your leaving?
No.
You didn't?
Didn't do Patrick Kavanagh.
What?
We had...
Did you not
just want to do it?
No, I don't know who we have. I don't remember who. I know we had. We were the year that had. I think.
I know you just did a selection of poems.
No, I know, but I know for.
Still be the junior cert or the leaving cert.
Sylvia Plath.
Yeah,
definitely. You could not be teaching. Young teenagers. Sylvia Plath.
Maybe she was the leaving cert.
We had your man who had to be taken off it.
What was he cancelled over?
Oh, can't get into it. It's all right. Tomorrow.
I had
T.S. Eliot was never cancelled, you know.
I know, like
Robert Frost.
Yeah,
it was worse than that.
A Road Not Taken.
Yeah, that's a junior cert, definitely junior cert. Yeah. Oh, look,
did Animal Farm, George Orwell for the junior cert. Did Shakespeare? I can't remember what he did for the.
There's a live animation Animal Farm that was that fake AI doing the rounds.
No, could be like. Do you know what? Here's one for you. I was trying to decorate the house for Christmas. So waking up in Dublin for the first time ever in Christmas, right? Trying to find a crib just to round it off. Can't find a crib anywhere.
No.
Nobody's setting cribs.
He's sick and mad.
It's too, you can't do it, you know. It's
won't be calling it Christmas next.
Too religious. I just wanted a physical crib, like, you know what I mean? Can't get one.
I'd say if you went down to your local church.
Yeah, or go to Veritas or somewhere. Are they still open?
You know. It's like, can someone source pork?
Call a crib
to make him feel at home up here in the heathen Dublin.
We are leaving that day. It's just waking up that morning in Dublin.
I can't believe that you didn't do none of you got like it's stitched in to a lot of my references are obviously over your head. Then I've been talking about this stuff for years.
Yeah, we've just been smiling.
You didn't do Kavanagh at all? No,
I don't think I really can't. It's totally going blank in this. I remember the junior cert better than I remember the leaving cert.
Lines written on a canal bank. There's a statue of him on the canal, very close to where the old offices were. I mean, obviously, it's way before your time here, but...
Mount Street?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember. I know that one.
I know the statue.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's another one by Brendan Behan up in Drumcondra.
But I don't know. Yeah, we didn't...
There's a great Patrick poem Kavanagh about Christmas, which, yeah, you know, he was a crib. He would have had a crib in his gaff as well.
I wouldn't know what I did for the leaving cert. I'd have to check that.
Evan Boland was there. I know that.
Sylvia Plath, so... I would have. That was definitely the leaving cert.
Definitely the leaving cert.
Definitely did Sylvia.
Too traumatic for anybody. I would argue too traumatic for many teenagers.
Her traumatizing demise Would you be ready for it in that little interval between junior cert and the...
No, I don't think so at all. I think it's this type of thing that you should wait until someone's 40 to start reading.
It's not that bad, is it?
It's just...
It's pretty bad.
If you're into the poetry...
Bad, but you're ready for it at that point.
I was certainly not ready for any of that stuff. I found all that stuff overwhelming.
I liked paper one because it was a free roll, so to speak. Just number 10, like, just go out there and write the story.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Paper two is the work. Yeah, it's all changed. They have H's now for the grades. Okay. That's all different. It was just your classic 4-4-2 in my
mind. It's all ABC. Participation medals now.
Yeah, yeah. You all get it now. Everyone gets in. Everyone gets to college.
Made it to the end.
Easy, like. Yeah. I love the build up to Christmas. I love the, specifically the 18th to Christmas Eve.
So from tomorrow on, it's...
I love it. It's like the old FA Cup final footage and coverage. Do you know when you start at 9 a.m. on BBC One? It's like that. Do you know why? Because like I said, the start of last week, it was like, you know, everyone will start winding down now, a little bit now.
Yeah.
Now, it's not for us, like sports, you know, sport continues. If anything, we get busier. But this Friday now, you'll see the shift in tone for the whole country on Friday.
We'll be here Monday and Tuesday, though.
We are here next week, yeah.
Yeah.
But it'll be festive.
It will be festive.
There'll be no fighting.
We'll be dressed.
I have two Christmas jumpers ready to go, like, so I'm happy to...
I don't, actually. I have no Christmas jumper.
Would you wear a Christmas jumper?
I never have.
I've kind of already broken.
Would you if it was presented? I think I'd like to see in a Christmas jumper.
I don't know. It's not. That's not me.
You can play characters. Is there,
no.
The whole thing about masks. You put a mask on, you become a different person.
Authentic.
No. But it's like you're stretching your authentic self. Does Dylan not have a load of masks?
I'm not Bob Dylan.
No, but I it's just an example.
Yeah, well, he does, yeah. I'm not Bob
Dylan. You just want to be Arthur James O'Dea. That's fair enough, but you can still wear other clothes.
I just love the coming back. January 2nd, we'll be in here on a Friday.
Do you?
Be great. Everything's up and going.
I hate that so much.
Yeah, I don't know why, I always have. But I like it now. It's probably a reflection of being happy. And I'll give me the Monday, Tuesday.
I
like the Thursday, Friday because you know you're into the weekend, but I love a Monday. I love the promise of it.
Are we talking about all year round now?
All year round. The promise of it. Anything could happen.
I don't mind Mondays at all. I hate Tuesdays.
All right.
I don't mind Mondays. There's something free about a Monday. No expectation. Everyone's down, right? Tuesday, you're back into... The meetings get busy on Tuesday. Everyone's a bit serious. Very little laughter on Tuesday.
You're in no meetings.
Very little laughter.
Shots fired.
What? You're living the dream.
I'm scheduled
now.
To be in them.
Yeah.
There's the mild anxiety of the calendar invite that you've swiped left on and not gone to. That's what you're talking about. Yeah. One of those. There's another one I'm
flat out
scuttering away from.
Missed it. Didn't come up. Didn't come up. I don't know the occasions of.
I think about this show, you know, that's what I do. Brian Barry Murphy lamented what happened last night. The first of the four quarterfinals in the League Cup. 1-3 had finished Cardiff-Chelsea. 1-1 for a while. He said, it's the hope that kills you. We actually have that clip, do we? Of Brian Barry Murphy.
Yep.
Good to go. Yeah, let's listen.
Brilliant cup run. Does sadly come to an end. How do you sum up the effort from your players this evening?
Yeah, I think it was evident the players gave absolutely everything for the club, and it was an incredible atmosphere and a memorable night. I guess it's the hope that kills you. And when we scored our goal through David Turnbull, probably all got carried away, myself included, about trying to get a second goal and or taking the penalties. And obviously Chelsea had the final word with such an impact from the bench.
This is it. Ultimately, Enzo Maresca has had to look to some of his regular starters to get the job done here tonight. Whilst it isn't the result you wanted, you must be taking a lot of pride and encouragement from that.
Oh yeah, I couldn't be proud of the players. The way they played the game from the first minute was exactly in the identity we want for this club, and the supporters really revelled in that and got behind us. So I felt as if everything was really positive and exciting, but obviously when you lose a game of this magnitude, there's always a little bit of what if or regret, but once that subsides, it'll be a really positive experience for us all.
They were really good and the atmosphere was great. And it had a big time cup feel. I think one of the lads in commentary towards the end was like, oh, this is a stereotypical cup match where the difference in league places has been closed largely over the course of the game.
Yeah.
And then when they got back to 1-1, you felt like it could have been something special.
Mm.
But obviously, there is a lot of class and quality in the Chelsea ranks.
They played really well in the first half, particularly Cardiff. Chelsea made 11 changes, which is strange this deep into the competition. It's like you're so close to winning it now. Just go out and put a team out there. So Cardiff had two big chances in the first half, including Joel Bacon setting up one of them, our own. But then they made a double sub at halftime. Garnacho and João Pedro came on, and Garnacho scored two of the three goals. Pedro Neto got the other. And it's a killer one mistake by Cardiff playing out from the back. Pounce the pan. There's your difference. And interesting, there's Chelsea fans serenading Enzo Maresca afterwards. Very much Team Maresca after his comments.
There was a few instances where Cardiff, the ball did score it past their own post after a mistake from the defenders. A bit of over-elaboration. But that's the type of thing that you're going to get from a team in the League One. You can see how this is a club who could be a Premier League club. You can see how this is a club who certainly is a mid-tier championship club next season, hopefully, at least.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. They did really well in that first half. And they did well in the second half as well to draw the game. Because as soon as Chelsea went one up, I thought that was it. Could be bedtime here. But one all and then their goals at the end just killed them. Totally killed them. But they can be very proud of their performance. There's not in the online reaction. A lot of Cardiff fans delighted with life under Barry Murphy. And why wouldn't they be?
Top of the table.
Flying it in League One, competing against Premier League opposition, beating Premier League opposition in this very competition as well.
And they're out of the FA Cup now, so it's like we have one thing to focus on, and that is making sure that we get promoted automatically.
So Chelsea through to the semi-final, and then tonight you have two other quarterfinals: Man City, Brentford, at the delightful start time of 7:30 for us breakfast crew.
Oh.
Watch the whole of that game. And then less so is the very unsociable 8:15 kickoff between Spurs and Fulham, I think. Oh, Newcastle and Fulham, I should say. And then the other quarterfinals next week, because Crystal Palace playing the Conference League tomorrow. Conference League last round of fixtures. So that's your lot for the football this week.
Do you want to talk about the 8:15 kickoff time? Because it's actually a point that is made in a very compelling piece on the back of the Examiner by Donal Lennon this morning. Or would you rather stick it to football and talk about Bruno Fernandes? Whoa, an exit set straight into the new, is it the Holy Trinity of, I don't even know who the third wheel is of the Wilcox, whoever and whoever.
It was weird timing. Why nobody have done it?
A couple of weeks ago, or last month.
Oh, so, okay.
So I don't know why it only got released. So for anybody who's unfamiliar with the details of this, Bruno's done a piece with the Portuguese FA's broadcast channel, which is, now they in Portugal, like Benfica had the rights to the Brazilian league to show on their TV channel at one point. So things are different, right? It's not like, who used to come out and do just FAI TV? Was it one of the ex-CEOs? But it's in an interview done with the local, and I don't know why it was just published. But it came out yesterday anyway.
Yeah.
Man United were like, look, if you really want to leave us and go off to Saudi Arabia to make a lot of money, we won't stand in your way whatsoever. Now, Ruben Amorim was like, no, don't do it. Don't do it. But the club were like, hey, you know, it's been good.
Been fun.
Would you like to change your legacy by staying too long? I don't know. Maybe you will, maybe you won't.
Double your wages.
Maybe even way more than that.
Well, yeah, probably all things considered.
Netto.
It's hard to know what these things what. Like, it's funny because it's like only so long. It's not as probably explosive as the Salah one, just given the circumstances. But it's hard to know what impact it actually has. We kind of saw it and it was like, yeah. It's kind of, because he states, doesn't he? Like, he's like, the manager wanted me.
Yeah.
So it kind of feels like, well, that's okay, that's fine. So it's not going to be.
Now, around the same time this came out, I sent you the Indy Kayla. I know we just referenced Indy Kayla.
You're a big fan.
Without asterisks and tinfoil hats. But around about the same time as this coming out, they were like, oh, the decision has been made. He's gone at the end of the season, unless something happens. Like, you know, maybe they qualify for the Champions League, which would be a very, very possible thing to happen. But I just did think that it was interesting that the manager was slightly separate from the hierarchy in the Bruno situation. That's what we know.
Mm-hmm.
That's a factual, according to Bruno,
yeah,
who has no reason to lie, the club were like, yeah, look, this is a great offer, man. You know, you've been great. It's been great. That money over there looks great. Canal 11, the Portuguese Football Federation subscription channel, he was asked whether there had been an offer from Paris Saint-Germain or Real Madrid. He appeared to reference more than one transfer window in his reply. Nowadays, the issue of loyalty is no longer seen the way it used to be. I could have left in the last transfer window and would have earned a lot more money. Financially, it would have been better for me. At one point, I was going to leave. I won't say where, but I would have won many trophies that season. So that's years ago. But I decided to stay not only for family reasons, because I genuinely like the club. Like, not love. The conversation with the coach also made me stay. But from the club side, I felt a bit of, if you go, it's not really that bad for us. You know, not saying you should go, but we won't mourn your passing. That hurts me a little. More than hurting, it makes me sad because I'm a player they have nothing to criticise me for. I'm always available for every match. I always play, whether well or badly, I give my maximum. Then there was a shot fired at some of his teammates, which was great. Then you look around you and you see players who don't value the club as much as you do and who don't defend the club as much. That makes you sad.
It's really hard. Yeah, I don't have too much. I have sympathy for him, but like, it would have been the right thing at the same time
for the club.
Yeah, it's like 100 million. It's like,
well, you were comparing it to Coutinho, or were you comparing it to Coutinho?
I think I was had the potential. It was just a bonanza. Whereas, like, here you go. Here's a completely. No one else will pay you this amount of money for any of the rest of your players. Here's 100 million, and if you get it right, it's pretty. Maybe. Like, he's been class, so I'm not really doing him down at all. He's been brilliant. But he is early 30s. And there's probably a shelf life. I guess he'll probably go on for years. He really doesn't have any sort of physical holdbacks at all. So maybe... I just don't see it being much of a issue. Personally.
The whole thing?
Yeah, I just don't see, like, how it's... It's not like everything's going grand. It's going to derail everything. It's kind of like...
Everything's going all right.
Everything's fine.
It's an interesting data point that if things go badly wrong... It's good that his form is good, because his form hasn't been always amazing. His form's been good mostly this season. But there have been games... Was it the Brentford game? Everybody was like, oh... After that Brentford game, everybody was like, he's the worst thing that's ever happened to us.
Yeah, he gets that label at him every so often, which is unfair.
Stop gesticulating.
It's the mannerisms. People get annoyed by him. But... I think with Fernandes, if he's not scoring or assisting, you could kind of question his true impact. But the fact is that he has done both of those things regularly for 6 years nearly. Like, he's obviously been United's best player since he signed. And he's right about his availability. And it does go up. It probably goes unremarked upon, is that the guy is always able to play.
Staggering.
And he plays the whole game unless they're resting him. And he probably gives the same effort in every game. And that probably opens you up to criticism too, because you're always there. So people get sick of you because you're a symbol of what's wrong with the club. So he would have actually probably been better off for himself had he missed more games. He'd probably be more appreciated. He's never had a long-term injury. If he had like a 3 or 4 month spell out, people are like, oh, Jesus Christ, we really missed Bruno Fernandes.
Yeah, when he comes back, he's going to transform us into a team.
So yeah, he's annoying, and I think that's the only reason people aren't having him. And you mentioned there about his physicality, right, that he could go on for years. He has an unusual... shape, I would say, for a modern football, in that he's quite slight, he's quite skinny. He doesn't have like a frame that you would see a lot of elite midfielders have. But it's whatever works for him anyway is magic, and other players would take it in a heartbeat. He must have a great metabolism and a great biology overall.
Yeah.
And he must look after himself really well.
Very much a life that Ferguson would have loved. Family man. Just loves his football.
Also, he could have had Roy Keane to do all the defensive stuff for him and just lash him forward and away you go.
I do wonder what he would have been like in a high functioning side who are like title contending.
There was one line about maybe leaving for a better club at one point. I was like, I wonder if he had his time back.
I heard the boys debate that in the news round, about where it would be.
Well, it just in his head, what is a better club?
The better club is, it's the same level, isn't it? But it's a club that's able to actually win titles.
Yeah. So Real Madrid, Barcelona.
Real Madrid, Barcelona, Bayern. And do you remember we had in one of our Keith Fridays there a few weeks ago, we were talking about that very topic about where Fernandes would go. And Keith made the point that he'd have Morgan Gibbs-White over Fernandes. Remember that?
That was a hot take.
It was a hot take. And we jumped on that, obviously. And then he explained himself. And I liked it too. Do you know what I'm sick of? Talking about football with people.
All right.
Honestly, right? It's, I've been thinking about this for a while.
Random is coming up to you in the street.
No. It's just the online discourse, or you're either spot on or you're talking complete nonsense.
Yeah.
And there's never any nuance. There's a decreasingly few amount of people out there that I actually enjoy talking about the game with, that you can actually have a debate. It's not even a debate. It's a conversation. It's like, I would have gone for this. I would have done that. Now it's a, what's your point about that? That's what it was supposed to be, right? But basically everyone now, right, is just trying to say what they want to say, and they're not listening to what the other person is saying. They're just waiting for that person to finish and be like, no, I'm definitely right in this case.
You're a clown.
And it's destroying the game. It's destroying the game that we once loved.
Would you say the anger is on?
Yeah, it's been annoying me for a while. Because, you know, we're doing this piece tomorrow, right, where I picked my Premier League 11 for Today FM for the football kickoff with Colm Loke, which is available on all of our Off the Ball podcast streams. And we'll have Vinny Perth on the show tomorrow morning, all going well. So I'll be revealing the team to Vinny.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously, like, the amount of abuse that will be thrown around because I have or haven't picked a certain player.
You didn't pick Paul McGrath, did you?
It's unbelievable. Yeah, so there you go.
Dead to me.
Call me a dick, yeah, you know, for leaving out Paul McGrath.
Well, you are.
And it's like,
I'm glad you recognise it.
Dickhead. What are you, clown?
Don't come back here again.
Do you work here? You get a job here. The fuck's that? And it's like, that's what it's like. It's like people, you see it everywhere. I'm just talking generally out there now. It's like, you can't have a conversation with people. People are just, everyone's right. Everyone is right all the time with what they say. No concessions. No conversation. That's my New Year's resolution hope. You're talking about, you're excited coming back on 2nd of January?
Yeah.
I'm hoping we all come back and we can actually chat about football.
A little bit of nuance.
Rather than just make statements.
Get lost in the grey.
And hope, you know, and everyone's making a statement hoping that, I hope everyone agrees with this. And that they realise that I'm right.
So, did you not end up doing at the end there? The turkeys and everybody.
I just wanted to say,
everybody's a dickhead except you.
I needed to get it off my chest. Yeah, nobody sees this except me.
Nobody. No, I'm happy to have a conversation with people that I'm like, I get your point.
2-4.
I'm thinking of people in my life, right?
Marconi House.
I can have this conversation.
Yeah.
We can have a very enjoyable debate. We walk away. Fucking clue.
When you get a job here. Gotta get rid of him.
So you can call, you can be nice, or it is Christmas week nearly.
No, you can say what you right. want. You can say it all year. Say what you want.
You are right. I do agree with you.
Agree with me?
I agree with you fully.
What are you talking about? Yeah, it's annoying.
It's just
it's annoying. Like,
tiring. It's tiring.
It's very tiring, man. It's very tiring. And maybe it's just end of year fatigue that feels particularly pronounced this year. But like, it is very, very tiring. And I wanted to say all this before we properly get into the festive shows. Well, but it's the one regret I have of this year.
It's funny you mention it, because Dermot Keenan sparked what is going to turn into exactly what you're not looking for in the day. And it's a good question. I'm not slagging him off at all. But he has sparked a question here that is going to kick off all sorts of problems.
Go on.
He's framed it in a subjective sense, because like, is Mo Salah the best signing in the Premier League era? If you don't think so, who? It's like, that's going
if
nowhere.
If you don't think so,
that's
you're a clown.
That's going nowhere good.
All right, but I can personally vouch for Dermot Keenan. That he'd be one of the people that you can actually have a conversation with.
It's not his fault.
Dermot Keenan is a good guy.
That's the flap of the first butterfly wing that kicks off.
He's a charismatic chap. You can have a great conversation with Dermot, go back and forth, right? I can personally vouch for that. But the way that's worded, yeah, I mean, that would bring out the lunatics in abundance.
My brother-in-law sent me a paper clipping.
Moneygall Town?
That he found. From Hoylake. From the 50s, that his grandfather had written about how shit women's football was.
Yeah.
And how it was, football's not, I was like, I could post this online. And then it would descend into the spiral of doom where you just have a lot of people piling in going, oh, he was ahead of his time. What a legend. Like, so I probably won't do that, which is the same thing. Essentially, it's the other side of what you're.
Yeah, it's funny.
You know? It's just.
The stages of grief are, I'm like, oh, this shit again. And then you just accept it and then you laugh at it. But you still want, when the laughter subsides, right? and you go home and there's no one else around, you're like, what is the state of this world, man? This has gone bad. I blame social media for this, by the way. This is all social media's fault.
Are you having any nightmares at the moment? Is this like
a... I had a very, very, very elongated dream the night before last.
That's a lie, yeah.
Did you?
Yeah, it was mental. I've had a lot of them recently.
It was mental.
The foolish moon recently.
Yeah, I heard about this recently. I didn't know that, about that at all, that a full moon will have an effect on people.
Yeah.
Yeah, a very vivid dream the other day, yeah. Yeah. No one wants to hear about a dream. Go on.
Will I just do this very quickly?
What is it? Did you write notes about your dream?
No, women footballers. Just about this time, certain young women thought that football was a good game for them. Two teams were formed by the promoters of the scheme, trained and sent out to tour Liverpool and district. I think this is writing in the 50s about his childhood memory. In due time, they appeared at Hoylake, which is where he's writing in the local paper, which is like a conglomerate of about 8 different advertisers. The affair was well advertised and the price of admission doubled to sixpence. Over £12 was taken, which suggests more than 500 spectators. A record gate. However, the unanimous opinion of the crowd was they'd been sold, for they'd been treated to anything but football. Shortly after, in another district, we learned that a girl's leg had been broken. This and the fact that football is certainly not a game for girls rung the death knell, and female football ended forever. But they did play golf and other things, and there was no cricket in Hoylake. So I was like, oh, I could post, that's an interesting bit of social history. And then I was like, I could, but then
no good comes of that.
Welcome to the manosphere. Anyway,
at best you're seen to endorse it.
I mean, obviously that would be the implication of,
oh yeah, good man, we used to exist before we were silenced. You're silencing me.
People are silencing your football views by telling you
no they're not. No, I'm just observing it, and it's on behalf of everyone. There was a time where it was enjoyable to talk about football.
And
football is only a tool, for real, actual problems in life.
Yeah, there is that famous Stephen Ireland quote, football is shit, how did I get stuck doing it? Which he put on Facebook when he was playing for Man City.
Yeah.
And like, I think that you're wearing his Man City colours today, but it's all right. You'll come back. You'll have a little break this next week. A few creamy pints of an afternoon.
Mm.
The jingle bells in the background. Good company, darkness closing in, the promise of a new life. We'll return to doom the knowledge we stole but couldn't use. Tying it all together there, like the Big Lebowski's rug.
There's a Big Lebowski quote in the comments.
I haven't seen that. Yeah. I don't have it open. Munster hierarchy needs to open eyes and recognise diversity of their fan base. Now, this is obviously a Cork view and a Cork paper, right?
Mm.
But I think he might be right.
A national paper.
I think he might be right.
It's written in Cork. Go ahead.
Donal Lennon, in fairness, has been very consistent over the years about why aren't we playing more games in Cork? Like good games where it's not the one in Musgrave Park where it's the C team playing against, the bad Italian side or any of the Welsh teams or the bad Scots team. And finally, there's a sellout in Porquicueve, and he reckons that they've added about an extra £500,000 to Munster's bottom line. Because it was a sellout. He is talking about every second year, the Leinster game at Christmas should be in Porquicueve. You'd sell that out, right? The 27th, every second year in Porquicueve. He said the buzz around Cork was great. Now the match itself, not great, but partly that's because of the stuff on the pitch and partly that's because of the kicking. Apart altogether from the increased revenue generated, the players love something different. In the past, when I suggested that Munster's URC game against Leinster should be hosted on a rotation every second season, I attracted the ire of many a Limerick-based Munster fan. One wasted no time in informing me the festive derby in Limerick is worth over £6 million to the local economy. Great, but what gives Limerick the divine right to that? Yes, we have an Arthur. As our Limerick representative.
I don't care where they would them, but why'd you build Holman Park there?
Munster need to recognise the diversity of their fan base and use it to best effect. Maybe they should just have a second team, a Cork team and a Limerick team, and see what happens. That's our fifth province.
What's the actual home of Munster?
Officially, Thomond. But it is split. They used to have training sessions in the two places, and then they were like, no, everybody's going to the High Performance Centre in Limerick. Just the right thing to do.
If Leinster were to have a game outside of Dublin, in Leinster, where would it be?
I don't think such a split exists there.
Well, there is a train from Rosslare and there's a train from Dundalk, straight to Dublin. So it's easier to get direct to the games.
Yeah,
you could have a game. You could have a game in Nolan Park.
Yeah.
You could have a game like Navan's not finished. You could have a game in Carlow in Netwatch Cullen Park.
It's interesting where the appetite is for these games based off of a Munster. It's particularly like Limerick and Cork. For Leinster, it's Dublin. Connacht is Galway.
They had a game in Mayo, and it,
yeah, massive. That was great. Yeah. Yeah, so you can expand it.
Well, he's saying Munster, but it's his thing on a. I love to say moral, but like, is it a financial thing or an idealistic thing?
Well, it's both, right? It's like this is one of those bits where you can serve many matches. The other thing he was making about the 8 o'clock kickoffs, apart from the monetary aspects of shifting Munster's games around, attending, he was at the Hurling League final and the All Ireland Hurling final at Croke Park, opened my eyes to the massive numbers of young boys and girls in attendance, proudly bedecked in Cork and tip jerseys. So he went to the league final and was making the point that even though they got beaten, maybe Tipperary learned more in that one. Playing matches at 8 o'clock on a Saturday night in Limerick, the younger cohort of fans travelling from outside Limerick has fallen massively. I notice the difference every time I travel, with very little traffic on the road home after these evening kickoffs. So it's one of those things, like the game is on at 8 o'clock for people standing in the pub drinking pints and people going to the game and drinking pints. But your next generation are like, oh, I'm watching stuff in the afternoon and getting sucked into other things. And he's just making the point that maybe they need to stand up to the broadcasters and say, we want a 5:30 kickoff. We want some kids to come. It's about building that next group of fans and supporters who get into the habit of match going.
Yeah.
Big opportunity for them, like to rouse Cork from its rugby slumber, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I would love that. I'd love that to happen. A lot of people are complaining about the location of Páirc Uí Chaoimh as well, as a match going fan. So I know it well, like, because her grandmother lives. So you could see it from a back garden. Is Limerick, but parking is at a premium, right?
Is Limerick not just relatively more central? If you're coming from Tip or Clare or wherever, like.
So he's also suggesting they should have a game in Killarney, like an early September URC game in Killarney. What a great weekend that would be. I think that primarily the strength of the game and Thomond having been home for those matches famously in the 70s, they decided that they were going to make that the, maybe they obviously owned the stadium. You wouldn't be competing with Páirc Uí Chaoimh.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I have no vested interest in it because I'd never be going, but you'd be trying to think, like, where has, so like the Welsh national team has a bit of a rootlessness, don't they? They play between the Millennium, well, I don't know, it's not the Millennium anymore, but whatever it was, and Cardiff Stadium as well, I think, for smaller games. So I suppose it does kind of.
Principality Stadium, Cardiff.
They don't Armas always, Park. Yeah, they don't always play in the Principality. I don't.
Ninian Park it was.
Like, there's a, I suppose there's some precedent, but it is weird. You don't want to have a rootlessness either.
I'd have mixed views as well, because Munster's greatness, the home of it was in Thomond, you know. And even as a Cork person, I'm saying that it would have been. If you had a time machine, it would be amazing to have the new Páirc Uí Chaoimh back in the 2000s when all this was great. Because you're right, like, because there is that slumber in Cork with Munster at the moment, that it's kind of catch up, trying to build from the start again in a team that may go on to something under Clayton McMillan. So maybe this is the start of something actually really good, that game against Gloucester was there. And there'll be much better games there again if they do it again.
Yeah.
But you're right about the 27th of December game particularly. Like, yeah, that would be class.
Sorry, that extra $500,000 leads to them getting a good New Zealander or South African to come for a year. So that one game pays for that. Suddenly, you can sell out more games in Thomond because you've got, you know, it's like a rolling ball of knives.
We've seen Páirc Uí Chaoimh in the hurling as well about how good it can be as a venue.
Yeah,
it can be amazing, right? So, so there's your example of it. So we know it works. And then if you play Leinster 27th of December next year, for example, and they put it there, and it's like, you know, Crowley and Prendergast a year later, maybe Harry Burnow in this case, and it's 1v1, everyone's in form, packed house, Christmas time, it could be sensational. Good thing about Páirc Uí Chaoimh too, it's very close to town, so afterwards you get both sets of fans in town.
Yeah.
Unbelievable night.
Yeah.
What does it cost
to rent?
Yeah,
I don't know. That is unclear.
Yeah, it's interesting that, but, obviously I presume they don't pay anything. Well, they pay whatever the functioning costs are for
Thomond. It's funny because it's still a pitch that looks too vast for every sport except GAA, because we've had a few soccer games there, a couple, and there's so much space behind the goals.
Yeah.
And it still kind of felt that way in the rugby, even though it was less pronounced. But it's probably just getting used to it visually. But there's something, you know, you have certain stadia that you love watching on TV. I used to love Highbury, for example. I still love Thomond Park.
Even when the two ends are...
Yeah, there's something incomplete about it in terms of a modern stadium, that there, it's up to scratch and little details about the technology and the... around the perimeter, but the actual stadium itself, it's a throwback to a bygone era. And I suppose a bygone era when Munster were just happier. So it's a reminder of where we were. But it's the most positive that Munster felt in quite some time at the moment as well. So as I say, I think this could be the start of something. It would be great. But that's just the hope that Donal Lennon has written about, right? That's his desire.
I think the fact that they've done this now, they've recognised that something needs to be done and...
Who,
push on.
Who's they?
The Munster executives and commercial board.
Yeah. But see, the Gloucester game was a washout, though, was the only thing, isn't it?
But sure.
Do you know? It was like there wasn't...
You would not do it again because of that.
Name 15 changes. No, see, we're all in agreement about we'd love that to happen, but I wonder the powers that be at Munster, the people who can actually make this happen, I wonder, do they have the appetite for it? Or are they just waiting to go back to Limerick?
You wouldn't be long alienating people either. Like, not there's no way people will go down as free. Like, geographically, like, it would be a challenge. You are basically trying to turn it into a more Cork team rather than a more... This is a more Cork move than a, well, let's do a more Munster move, if you know what I mean. Like, provincially, you're definitely looking to attract more Cork people than you are looking to attract people from Clare, Tipperary, Waterford, whatever. Maybe less so Waterford, but...
Yeah.
You're not as concerned. That's what the gist of that is.
But everybody from Clare can go to Limerick pretty easily.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, so these games...
But they won't go as easily to Cork.
No, but that's
what I'm saying. They're looking to turn... These aren't games for Munster. These are games for Cork in Munster.
Yeah.
Well, which is an interesting dynamic, though, but it is... It's a...
But by that same token, the games in Limerick are not for Cork people.
But I'm just saying... It's a more natural central point. Like, it's an easier thing for... More equidistant for people to get to.
Except for the, massive population centre of people who live in Cork.